You're listening to another Woodshop podcast, the okayest podcast of its type. Your hosts are Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks and Peter Kapar of Petrie's Workshop. You can find them as well as the podcast on your favorite social media platforms.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 171 of Another Woodshop Podcast, where we are here to remind you that Christmas is only 3.5 months away. That's roughly 15 weeks, or just over 107 days for the patrons.
We have currently, it's 109, but if
109, so 7 for the patrons, 105 for the others, just over 100 days. And something. If you're like us, you're probably not ready. So strap in and strap on that pair of glasses to help you write down this fire list of selling tips for the holidays. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, man. What's
up? Hey, you strapped in?
I'm strapped on.
Attaboy. Well,
I'm always strapped on.
Dan?
Yes.
While I just talk and gesture with my hands, even though nobody can see it,
you're going to
pull up
that.
The list of patrons and have that read every week, Dan. But While Dan's looking that up, we are very excited to announce that we have officially partnered up with Maker Camp of East Durham, New York. Woo! Crowd goes wild. So we are going to be giving away two tickets, one through the pre-show and one we're going to be giving away through the Instagram account. So there's going to be a post going up this week. Hopefully by the time this is up for everyone on Monday or Sunday, the post will be up and we're going to be doing a giveaway on, I am not stalling, the date is the 21st. So the week of the 21st, we're going to announce both on the podcast and via the IG account. And by the way, these are silver level, the silver ticket, which means you get the full hands-on experience. So you get the whole weekend, full hands-on experience. You get to try anything, do all the woodworking, the metalworking.
Touch things.
You get to touch everything. Even Jimmy. Please don't tell him we said that. And you can, of course, also camp as well. That is included in that pass. Camping is included. And you get to see us. Come say hi.
Also, we haven't confirmed this yet, but we feel 91.2% positive that you can transfer that ticket to somebody else if you win and you can't make it. But we need to confirm that.
We'll work out the details. Sure, we need to get a final name, and that's what we're going to give to the Maker Camp guys. But we're super excited because they're sponsoring the show. And
yeah, basically, we're just giving them a name. So, hey.
Yeah.
Name Ronald is Ronald Reagan won.
Schmanuel Schmanlap. And speaking of names, Dan, what do you got?
Yeah, speaking of names and happy campers, we have a new patron this week. It is a Jacob Green. Big shout out to Jacob Green. We appreciate you, not just me. We appreciate you.
Oh, you can include me in that.
Well, I almost said I appreciate you, and then I was like, wait a minute, Pete's here too.
We appreciate about you.
And then, we want to give a special shout out to all of our VIP patrons. And
it would almost be easier if you had two tabs so you wouldn't have to change over.
I really should, but I did it smoothly.
I'm going to put that in my notes, by the
Victor
way.
Victor Aragema, Matthew Hoff of Matthew's Woodworking, Nick Brim Woodworking, Matt Maynard of Patriotic Pine, woo! Steve Iadarola, Bill Burkle of WTB Woodworking, Malcolm over at Bossa Nova Woodworks, Justin at Calvary Customs, Patrick Gensel, Square Splinter, Michael Flickinger, Max and Mindy Coons over at Stubby K Studio, and Jacob Miller.
Wow, what a crowd.
Every one of you. We appreciate you.
All fine officers in the meh army.
Are they officers now?
They're all officers. Well, the generals are top tier. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll do NCOs. Well, the bottom, the $2 tiers, you're like a sergeant minor, not even a sergeant major.
You're petty officers. You're petty.
Real petty.
I don't know the rankings.
So I mentioned the holidays in the intro. We do have a topic for this week. It is holiday prep for selling anything or doing anything. Honestly, even if you're not selling items for the holidays, just things to consider. A lot of these tips, we have literally a full list about 10 to 15 items, and we're going to kind of make more. And then we're going to offer that. It's going to be in our show notes, and we're also going to post it on our site. So you're going to be able to get all these to kind of like use site? It like a
site.
It's like an Instagram thing. But like, it's all, yeah. Anyways, there's going to be a list. We're going to offer it. Well, maybe we'll do a Google Drive document so you can use it as a checklist to make sure that you are on top of your stuff, or just a little guideline as you listen. But before we get into that, Dan, how would you feel if we went with this?
What's on my bench?
So, well, Dan,
I would feel okay about that.
What is on your bench?
Daneth? Well, currently, technically, a whole lot of scraps and cutoffs.
Whoa.
I am swimming in scraps and cutoffs, and I don't know what to do. Actually, I do know what to do. Start using them for holiday prep, I guess.
Wow.
That would be a nice thing to do if I had spare time, but I don't. So,
well, Dan, it's like you're foreshadowing again. We're going to talk about that.
I usually pawn off my scraps on local guys, but I think I've given so much away that like nobody has any room. So like, I'm pretty boned.
You're saying is nobody wants any of that Dunlap wood?
Nobody, not even Kayla.
Oh,
nope.
Oh,
Nicholas Roughcorn, reached out to me on IG and said, "Hey, I'm actually going to be in Omaha. If you have scraps, I'll come get them." I'm like, "Yes, please, please come get them. I'm dying over here." So he's coming to get them hopefully Sunday. This Saturday, speaking of local guys, I'm actually going to a craft fair with Braden over at Little Bug Woodworking just to hang out, cause trouble. I don't really have anything to take. He said I could bring some items, but like I don't have anything. I just want to go hang out.
Nicer to do one with someone.
Yeah.
Like, God, I mean, it's so nice.
Now that I think about it, it sounds counterintuitive because I was just talking about how I don't have time, but I'm going to take time to go hang out with Braden. You know what, people? Friendships are important, and you have to what's the word I'm looking for? You have to nurture them.
Right, so, right. How much money does he owe you?
A lot of money. So I'm going to go hang out with him and do that, but you know, as far as what's on my actual bench, what am I actually working on? I mean, you all know the story by now. I'm working on Etsy orders. I'm swimming in Etsy orders, which is great. I'm not complaining too much. Woe is me. But, you know, it gets a little monotonous. And that's a big word. Don't ask me to spell it. I can't.
Monotonous.
It gets a little monotonous, you know, and it's just kind of the same thing over and over. So today, I tried to, well, let me back up. A couple months ago, yes, months, I've said months, my DeWalt 735 planer, like, blew out the drive belt and the drive chain. There's two.
Off the chain, bruh.
Yeah, it was a real cluster F. Anyways, Nick Brim was kind enough to come over and help me take it apart, and then we ordered the parts for it, and they came like in 2 days, and then they've just been sitting around the shop ever since. And yeah, that's what happened. And then I think last Friday after we recorded the podcast, I had another local woodworker or maker or something. Anyways, they asked me if I could plane down some boards for them. They got some recycled barn wood or something. Mm-hmm. Upcycled barn wood. What's the word I'm looking for? Man, I just can't think of the words tonight.
It's upcycled barn wood, I guess. Oh, okay. Until you make something with it, it's not upcycled. It's just barn wood.
It's really rough stuff. And they wanted it plain flat and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I can do that for you. No problem. I thought that I could just run it through my drum sander. But that was a no-go.
You were just going to run like rough barn wood through the drum sander?
Yeah, I mean, it would take some time, but I wouldn't have to fix the 735 planer, which is what I'm all about. So, but anyways, long story short, I ran it through the drum sander, and my drum sander did not like that one bit.
Yeah, I'm not shocked. Not only did it,
I mean, it's like 200-year-old, like, white oak. It's hard as nails. And on top of that, it's got this... it's just got grime all over it, right? So I'm running it through my drum sander, and it's just burning. It's burning like crazy. No matter how light of a pass I try to take, it's just burning. And not only is it burning, but these were clearly boards that have been inside of a barn and have been urinated on by farm animals over many decades. So as the wood is burning
Hey, Dan. When you were running out through the jump sander, were you wearing your pee-pee? It was a pee joke.
I get what you're trying to do.
We'll just cut that in post.
It was bad.
We don't edit this.
We're just going to pretend like
audio
I was wearing
barely
my
lines up. See, that's why we're talking over each other.
Yep. So anyways, yeah, it was a real shit show. So I was like, okay, dang it. I'm just going to have to break down and fix this stupid planer. And it was more headaches than I had bargained for. I worked on it for like 4-5 hours this morning before I gave up. And I just said, F it.
Bought a new one?
No, I almost did. Almost. Really almost. But I think I'm at the point now where if I buy something that's kind of like out of my range financially, my wife might just divorce me. So there's that.
I don't know. This is your day job. You gotta. You gotta invest
in
the tools.
I know.
Fine. Me and Emma will make the pilgrimage to Nebraska, our bi-yearly pilgrimage, where we tell Kayla, like, no, that's a good investment.
Please do. Where was I? So yeah, I tried to work on the stupid planer. It gave me nothing but headaches.
So how'd you get it working? How'd you get it done?
I didn't. Oh, it's not working. I got the belt and the chain on. Lo and behold, there's a chain on the other side of the planer, and it wasn't.
How
spinning.
Deep of a pass were you running when that thing broke?
I don't know. Not too much. I don't know.
No, it's half inch.
I'm beginning to wonder if putting the Schelix head on that thing was a bad idea.
Oh, is that because what's on there?
Yeah, all these problems have arisen after that was put on, and there's no doubt in my mind that it was put on correctly. Graham, a local woodworker, put it on for me, and I have nothing but the utmost trust. I just wonder if like that, if it just can't tolerate that head as well as people think. He said tolerate that. Anyway.
Jokes.
So I just wonder like if it adds more stress, which doesn't make any sense to me, but I wonder what's going on. Anyway, the planer didn't get fixed. I got more parts coming, so maybe it'll get fixed in a couple days. So I decided to screw it, and I got out the pressure washer, and I washed my garage doors. I pressure washed my garage doors because it's been lacking. It's needed it for a long time. The garage doors look nasty. People drive up the street and they look at the house and they're like, oh, it's
right. It's the garage doors that are open 95% of the day.
Yeah.
Every day.
So the dust will like settle up on top of them and it just gets nasty. And
it has nothing to do with what's visible when the garage doors are open. It's when they're closed. Like, nobody wants to see that.
Yeah. I mean, it's been nasty. And
no, I get it though.
My wife was like,
when those doors are up, they get grimy.
You ever gonna wash those? And I was like, yeah, I probably should.
So actually, I have not thought to wash mine. Are yours white? No, they're
maroon-ish. More purple now. They're
I watched the video and I cannot tell you the color.
I believe they used to be maroon, but they get my garage is south facing, so it gets sun all day long. So I think they've UV faded over time. So now they're like purple. I think when I uploaded the video today on Instagram Reels, the first comment I got was from Suman, and he said, "Are your doors made of purple heart?" I was like, "Yeah, they are. They are."
Yeah. I'm kind of a baller.
Yeah. Anyway, man, I rambled a lot there.
No, that's fine. That's a great. What's on the bench, dude? You got anything else?
Nothing I want to talk about.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So what is up with you, my friend?
So I have had what feels like one of the busiest weeks between work and the business and just personal life and everything. I've been nothing but exhausted every single day.
Yeah, I mean, like even I'm trying to text you and you don't respond for
because I've literally been putting my phone into shop. I have a shop mode, which is like, you know, when you set your phone to like sleep or whatever, or meditation, and like there, that's one that just ignores all messages except Emma and emergencies. Actually, your calls and messages do get through. You're on the list. I just have been ignoring everyone.
Take that. Everybody. I'm on the list.
So it all started with like last week. So I talked a little bit about the whole TikTok shop and all that stuff, and I'll get into that a little bit, but the weekend was going to be, you know, when you have that weekend coming up and you're like, man, I'm going to get so much work done. I'm going to get so much work done this weekend. This weekend's going to be great. We have no plans this weekend except that one little teeny barbecue. That little teeny barbecue turned into one every single day. We live in a lovely neighborhood and everyone's super friendly and we got invited to something every single night. Oh, and we're like, and I'm complain bragging here 100%. But the problem is, I was so burnt out already from last week that I was like, I got started later and later.
Oh, yeah,
and
all these things started. Labor Day.
It was like I was getting started later and later in a day on a weekend. And I was like, well, it's 12:30. Like, how much work can I get done in a shop before this 3 o'clock barbecue?
Go out there now?
It's not even like worth it. Like, I'll honestly pay more in power just to cool the place and the lights on. I'll just stay in the house. So didn't really get a lot done this weekend. Also, just ate too much. Possibly drank too much. It was a fun weekend. I loved it. I had a great time. Set me way behind. Did I talk about the logs last week?
No.
The wood? The logs? No. So, we're walking around a neighborhood last week, and I hear the music of my people. I hear chainsaws in my neighborhood. It's a small neighborhood. I'm like, okay, somebody's getting trees cut. What's going on? I can hear power tools. And we're going for a walk, and happened to be there when they were on breaks. They're all in like the back of the property, probably eating their sandwiches or whatever. And we do another lap around the neighborhood. I'm like, dang, I want to see if like they can spare like two or three logs. I see them sitting there on the side of the road. I would love some logs to just dry out, have some firewood for the next season. And sorry, Dan texted me and I cannot focus. I remember in the intro when I was stalling. Yeah, we'll go more into that again.
Make sure we mention that.
We did. He asked me about, I'm just going to blow it out. He asked me about Maker Camp. I'm like, yeah, do you remember me stalling while you were Googling stuff? You're like, what is Patreon?
Well, I was busy. I didn't remember you saying it. Okay.
So anyways, okay. I'm sorry. So long story longer. I just drive by or we're walking by and I take a photo of the truck and the phone number and all that. I call them up. And after a little conversation, I was like, I would love like 5-7 logs, whatever you got, like we could use it for firewood. And then later that day, the guy sends one of his like less English speaking guys, and I was like, oh, this is great. And eventually he's like, oh, no English. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, yeah, I'll take half of this. It was a full truck of logs. Like, it was like a big dump truck, not like a log truck. They had that too, but it's a big dump truck full of logs. And then he proceeds to start like tipping it.
Was it maple?
I want to get to that.
Okay. I'm sorry.
And so he proceeds to like dump it. And I'm like, oh, this is all for me. It was like 20 logs, if not more.
That was ridiculous.
It was a lot. And he like,
when I saw that video, I was like, how the hell do you
actually got to post it? very sweaty. It was the hottest week too. It's been in the 90s, almost like every day. So these things get dropped. I had to like move them a little bit. I was like, oh, move up. You're going to hit the trailer. So you did actually boop the trailer a little bit, but everything else was good. We get these logs in. I start cutting them up. Here's the thing. And I've been like too embarrassed to admit this on my stories, but you give me a board, I can tell you what wood it is with like an 80% certainty. You show me a log, I know it's not walnut or purple heart because it's light. Whether it's oak, ash, or maple, I can't tell because old Petey is dumb. So like I just
picture, I'll tell you what
I never research honestly like yeah I'll send it I'll ask you I should just go online and be like I love all this walnut I got and then I'll build the right answers.
in the Reddit woodworking
yeah subreddit. Just to do that
look at all this walnut I got.
But the cool thing is like we got all this wood for free, and yes, it's a lot, it was a lot of work, but we don't heat our house with wood, but we're avid fire pitters. That's a term, I guess. We do a lot of fire pits, us and our neighbors, and it's just going to be nice to have all that wood to just chop up and dry up so I don't have to drag it from, like, the woods or something. It's all right there. So, and
how
I was free.
Do you suspect that's going to take to dry to use as firewood? Like,
I'm
going to
start splitting it into little, like 14 to 18 inch rounds. And I mean, dude, honestly, you can burn wet wood. Once you get the fire
dry,
with the dry stuff, you can
pop
throw that
a
stuff
lot,
in there.
Though, depending on what it is.
Pop. It's fine. Whatever. You know. It is what
usually
it is.
Usually
pine
pops more than anything else.
So Emma helped me out a bunch. I posted a, literally I named the post thirsttrap.mp4. It was just Emma carrying logs.
I saw
that. I was like, eh, you know what, Emma, well, let's post this. Let's just lean into it. Lean into it, whatever. But anyways, so the one thing that it was like a huge time and back saver was straps for like maneuvering logs. You can like wrap a strap around it and literally pull one side and like feed the other and it'll rotate the log for you. And then you could also like pull them up. So you're not trying to grab them with gloves. Cause you know, like you slip off and you grab a big log, Dan, you don't know what this is like. When you grab a big log, it's sometimes hard to grab.
No,
get
you're
a
accurate.
Good grip
you're
on
true.
It.
I don't know. What
so
like. I've never
throwing straps around it was a real back saver and a thing that came in the mail today. I bought a
this
cant
is why
hook.
My back is so good.
I bought a cant hook from Woodmiser. Oh, I bought it from Amazon. A cant hook is basically
cant
it's,
hook.
Yeah, it's a bar with a hook at the end. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look at any Matt Cremona video where he's hanging off of a pole attached to a log.
That thing can hook, not can.
Yes, that's the weird name, right? Yeah.
I don't understand
that. Yeah, like
that can't hook can hook.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Sounds like a Dr. Seuss.
Terrible
story.
Branding, that's all I'm saying. But this thing was amazing. It helped move these because like we moved all the lighter stuff and it's all like this heavy, heavy stuff sitting there. So we've moved thousands of pounds of logs and really wasn't like that. Like we still put in some good work, but it wasn't that bad. Highly recommend. I even today was like, if you're ever moving logs, if you have a bunch on your property, just invest in one of these things. It's like $100 and it literally will save your back. I am not aching. I'm not sore. I'm just a little tired. So highly recommend, 12 out of 10. Aside from that, what else? Oh, we started working on the ice climbing tools. Finally. So we got them assembled. A couple weeks ago, and then this week I routed them over, and once again I'm gonna shout out two things that just made the job so easy. I got one of these like quadro bits from Freud. Usually if I did a batch of 100 of these ice climbing tools, I would have to go through about 2.5 bits. Right, I use one bit for all 100 and that sucker's still sharp and it just melted through this wood.
Yeah, the four
I didn't
bladers.
Start seeing. Dude, it was bonkers. This thing is so good.
I have one of those. I use a quad half-inch roundover bit that I got from them. I bought that thing like 2 or 3 years ago.
It's like
still
the
great.
Same cost. It's $31 on Amazon. I bought another. I still have that one. I bought a brand new one just in case.
So whenever I buy roundover bits now, like it's going to be the quad bits from Freud. Yeah.
The more...
Not sponsored.
Yeah, no, we're not sponsored. That thing was great. And the other thing was, and I
not
built
against
a silly,
it, though. Hit us
not
up,
against
Freud.
It. No, hey Freud, what's up? Or Dankeschön. I don't know what. Whatever. I think they're German.
Oh, right.
Whatever. But the other thing was, nine. I made this like bungee nine and the other numbers. This bungee thing with like springs to essentially
I saw
hold
that.
My router.
That's brilliant,
dude. I would usually route over about 20 of those things, and my hand would be literally seized in like a closed formation. Like I'd have to like stretch it apart to get my carpal tunnel to like not be a thing anymore. I did about six. Yeah, I saw that video too, Dan. Stop. Why do we have the same exact feed?
I don't know.
But I think the first day I did 75 and then I did the remaining 30 the next day. Like I did triple the amount in one day without the fatigue and pain that I was getting before. So highly recommend it. Like I'm gonna try to figure out some kind of permanent solution. Not that I do these that often, but like, and people are asking me, oh, well, how come you didn't use a router table? It was super scary using it with a router table because these tools have so many tight corners that there's so many times that the bit will just want to grab.
A lot of places to like
not a whole lot to grab. Yeah.
Or Dan's familiar with that. Push sticks or something.
Push sticks. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so that's been like that.
Blocks. Push blocks.
Aside from that, help Keith out with some stuff. He's got a project that's coming out for the Lamello. It's cool. He actually, Johnston, I think
Johnston,
is the name. Johnston KJ Sawdust. So we're working on a little thing. I was lasering some medallions for him. No, not Alec. I'm not coming after your business. Medallion maker still a thing. Go get your medallions there. But no, these are little laser things that are getting inserted into something. It's real sexy. You'll see it. He'll talk about it. And aside from that, I've been working. Most of the week has been spent on, and I want to kind of talk about this for like a little bit, but it's Shopify and TikTok Shop. TikTok Shop, it's setting it up is an absolute effing nightmare.
You could have bleeped yourself, you know.
I just too lazy. My hands are on my head. Setting up TikTok Shop, if you don't have, here's the thing. You can set up TikTok Shop and start listing items in your TikTok Shop. Fairly simple. If you want to set it up to be syncing across from another platform, like, for example, Shopify, there's a lot of steps because you need to install an app on Shopify that syncs to TikTok Shop, and it needs to clear a bunch of stuff on Shopify to be a good listing. Then you need to go through a bunch of clearing things in Silk. Silk Connector is the app to then sync to TikTok, and then TikTok puts everything in review. And guess what? Blade is not a good word. You can't use that word. Really? So saw blade, anything in the description was completely flagged and taken down. Luckily, you can like literally tweak the text or whatever it might be, and it immediately lets you put it back into place. So I say it's a complete nightmare because it is a lot of work. A lot of it was like reaching out to Brad Rodriguez, like asking him how he set his up. He helped me out immensely. He's been a great resource. But he's only been doing this for like a week as well, or a week or 2 weeks or something. And although it was a lot of work and a lot of literally reading through articles and like the help pages for these applications, at the end of the day, I have my own Shopify website now with all of our available listings on it, where I manage everything. I collect all the fees except for credit card fees. And it's my site. It's petrishop.com. I own that domain, which I know everyone gets domains left and right these days, but like, it feels really legit to have your own domain with your own shop on it. So that's all set up. It's working. And the TikTok Shop is live. We got our first sale today, all of one sales. And TikTok's doing this weird thing. So this is something to consider when you're getting to TikTok
Shop.
This has
me concerned.
Your shop is good. Right now, my shop is showing every single item in there is either free shipping or up to 40% off. Because TikTok, just like, you know, Instagram does like Reels bonuses, as does Facebook, and TikTok does some incentives or whatever. What they're doing is they're pumping money into subsidizing the shop. So the way it's supposed to work is somebody bought something from me. They got like 50% off and free shipping. I only got paid $10 on this $20 purchase on Shopify's end. But apparently TikTok retains the other half that they saved that person, and I will get that paid out through TikTok. That's at least how it works on paper.
I sure hope so.
I mean, I'm assuming because a lot of people are doing this, but we're going to know more in about 2 weeks when everything...
Yeah, I'm on the edge
apparently
of my
there's
seat
a
here.
Probation period. And we did hear from a lot of people that you're waiting a long time for the TikTok Shop to get approved. You know, there's some people getting denied, like Dan, you got denied,
yeah,
right?
I was going to go into that.
Yeah, so you got to be patient with it. There's a lot of articles and things that you got to kind of follow. If I can assist in any way, reach out to me. I don't know how much help I'm going to be because I still feel like a rookie with it, but it takes a lot of patience. This is not a simple like one and done. Also, the other annoying thing, I'm a business account now. And guess what? I don't get the same music that I used to have. So now I have like,
yeah, that's a bummer.
License free music or whatever, but I've been leaning more into the voiceover. So we'll see how it is. But Dan, you got something to say about TikTok?
Yeah, I've been trying to set up a TikTok Shop now for a couple weeks, I think. And man, I don't know what their process is like. I don't know who's like running the back end over there or
China
bots or what's going on, but I've applied because you got to apply to have a TikTok Shop, first of all. I've applied 3 times, maybe even 4. I've lost track and I keep getting denied. I have an EIN, which is an employee identification number for tax purposes and stuff like that. Even though I don't have any employees, I have all those things that I need, but they keep denying me. And now the message I'm getting from TikTok Shop is I can't use that. I have to start it with my Social Security number and I have to upload a picture of my Social Security card. I am not real comfortable with that.
I have to do the driver's license, I believe.
I did the driver's license. I don't know what's going on. I pretty much give up.
It's a lot of growing pains for a lot of people.
Etsy, so.
But here's the thing. Listen, and Dan, I think we should set you up with a Shopify at some point too. That'd be a good move. Just to like, not that like we listen, we're Etsy support, all for Etsy, but it's nice to be in multiple places.
Oh yeah, we've talked about how it's important to diversify in case something happens, you know, like a couple, like what, a month and a half ago, 2 months ago maybe, I had that problem with Etsy where they put my account in reserve or whatever, which sucked for like a week or so, but it wasn't so bad. But still, like if something like that happens, you know, if all my listings get reported for being drug paraphernalia and they take down my shop, you know, I'm boned, right?
So exactly. And one other thing, last thing I'm going to mention about TikTok Shop, it is just visible on your page, but the way you promote it is you make posts and you tag it. One of the reasons I went with Shopify is because I can also sync it to Etsy and do the exact same thing. Apparently, it integrates with Shopify there. I haven't tried that yet, so if you have some experience, please reach out. I'd love to get some advice.
Etsy syncs with Shopify?
No, I'm sorry. Shopify syncs with Instagram. I'm saying all the wrong words. So
I was confused there for a second. I was like, wait a minute.
However, you can import your Etsy listings from Etsy into Shopify using one of their built-in apps. Yeah. Or even you don't even have to use the app. You can literally export an SVC and drop it into Shopify.
I'm going to be honest. I haven't really looked into Shopify yet. I've talked about it.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it more.
I haven't practiced what I preached.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of Shopify and making things and being busy, should we jump into... Actually, you want to answer that question that came in for you?
Play the thing.
We'll do the thing.
Go, Black Betty, Ram Lamb.
All right, so it's actually from Jacob Green, who's a new patron. Jacob says, "Hello, happy to be a patron. Thank you for joining the Matt Army. I have been enjoying the show. My question is for Dan. I know you're busy with Etsy orders, but do you plan on doing more YouTube? I watched some of your videos, and I thought they were good." Jacob, thank you for calling in or writing in. Dan?
Yeah, thank you, Jacob. Not only thank you for the question, but thank you for joining the Matt Army over there on Patreon. Obviously, the plan is always to do more YouTube. The plan is always to do more. It's just a matter of finding the time and the talent. And I say talent because I was fortunate enough to have a guy working with me for a while there where he was my cameraman. And it allowed me to do a different style of video, which I really, really enjoyed doing. It was just me being my goofy self in my shop and doing things. And dang it, if I go back to YouTube, that's kind of the direction I want to go. But like, you know, I need to find the balance between having the time to do that and finding somebody that I trust to do the same type of quality, because unfortunately the guy that I had not only could I couldn't continue to pay him because there was no like return there, but like he's actually moving, so he's not going to be around. So it's a long convoluted answer. I think I would love to, but you know, everything has to fall into place, so we'll see what the future holds.
Dan, for some reason I was looking at your YouTube recently, either this morning or yesterday morning, whatever. But, you know, I do want to point out the fact that some of your best performing videos were ones you edited. You shot, you edited, you did yourself.
Yeah, that's fine and dandy. But like, you know, we've talked about this before. You got to be true to yourself. And, you know, the ones that I did with Isaiah where he was the cameraman, it was just, it felt better. I really enjoyed it more. It was fun, and that's really the direction I want to go if I continue to do YouTube, which hopefully in the future will be a thing. I have been slowly, very slowly, trying to get my daughter to come out there with me and be the camera person, and
just hold it straight.
She's
just like that. No, that's just go
she
inside.
She thought it was a good idea for like a day. And then she became bored with it.
You mean like the day that you got her to run to CNC or the day you got her to pack your orders?
I've never been able to do that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I thought she jumped on that.
No, no. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I sure hope so. Thank you for the kind words, Jacob. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we got to keep on that.
What about you? Shut my video. What about you?
So we're gonna get into our topic.
No. You can't skip.
I'm working on it. I need to finish editing the video that I started and just get that out because it's just you got to keep building.
Pete's got some fire videos out there too. He needs.
They're like a little kindling, going out like a coal. Anyways, why don't we jump into our topic, Dan?
Okay. Pete wants a skirt by Aaron. All right.
I'm working on it. I'm trying my best.
I'm trying to make you feel bad. It's working.
Appreciate it. It is working. It is working. So this week's topic is holiday prep.
Basically, September?
In September? What are you, September? Yeah. 3.5 months early. Actually, 3.75 months, not 5
That's
months.
That's if you're only like considering Christmas. I mean, we got other holidays
you're talking about
coming up.
Right up to Christmas. If you're insane enough to be making stuff right up to Christmas, which I know for a fact we both have done. We've literally been in a shop. And Christmas when I said Eve. We're not ready for it, it's because this is really the first time that we're actually going to be talking actively about like, hey, this is the stuff I got to do in the next.
And hopefully it actually sinks in and I actually do well this year. That'd be.
Yeah. So we're going to kind of like, we're going to go down this list, but just kind of rattle off random things about stuff. And I mean, the first one is really just, actually, I'll talk about the first like three, which the first one is plan ahead. Like we're planning ahead right now. You don't want to be making last minute gifts.
Podcast in September about this. That's planning ahead, right?
You don't want to be making gifts in September. I'm sorry, in November for Christmas. If you're starting in November, you're done. You done goofed. Would you agree, Dan?
Well,
I mean, you still can.
I think
if
you're starting like post Thanksgiving, I think you're kind of in a bind. But if you're starting like in the beginning of November, you might be okay.
But the earlier, here's the thing: you're gonna be okay. I've started stuff as late as mid November, and unfortunately, those are the times that I kind of ran late. I ran into like right up till Christmas.
Yeah, the holidays aren't just Christmas. I mean, it's Halloween, it's Thanksgiving. Those are holidays that we have in the fall, sort of.
That's number six, Dan. You're jumping a gun. It's okay. It's okay. I'll allow it.
But right now, I'm kind of thinking about making products that are fall themed. So that's kind of where my head is at. I'm going to start thinking about Christmas probably the second week in November, you know what I mean?
I'm going to try to get ahead of it, but you're right. No, and I'm planning ahead. That's actually number six, which was the whole, like, think about the other holidays. Cause there is Thanksgiving. Halloween is huge. And I feel like every year it's becoming more and more of like it's literally fall, the holiday.
I mean, a walk through Menards will tell you how big, Halloween is getting. I mean,
if you go to Costco right now, it's Christmas already. It's insane. It's been there since August.
Menards has this 30 or 40 foot tall, I swear to God,
skeleton.
It's like a skeleton or a vampire thing that like growls at you when you walk by it.
If I wanted that, I would just go to my mother-in-law's house.
I know how big Halloween's getting because every year that decoration gets bigger.
Yeah, right. They just keep adding feet every year. So like next year, you gotta buy the new one. You can't have the 20-foot skeleton.
So don't discount Halloween, folks. You could do Halloween and then just roll it into like a fall theme. I mean, it's a pretty easy transition.
Think about the Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, some of the other holidays. If you want, get into that field because the market's not as saturated too.
True.
What's that? Ash Wednesday, isn't that something? No, that's later in the year. I don't know, whatever. Old Saints Day.
If you got a lathe, you could turn a dreidel. Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel.
I made you out of a leftover clay. Pine.
Leftover pine. That doesn't sound as good.
So the next one's obviously, you want to set clear goals and priorities that you want to focus on. So sit down and kind of plan stuff out of like, what is some of the stuff that you'd want to make this year?
Look, I've said this before in the past. I'm not a goal setter. That's not what I do. But I kind of do that for the holidays. Because,
yep,
look, I'm going to make probably 25% of all the money that I make comes from the holiday season. The last, like, 2 months of the year.
2 months, that makes 4 months or 6 months worth of money, potentially.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, people are more willing to open up their pocketbooks. So you got to really cast a wide net to catch those fish.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. So you want to plan ahead, write out some priorities and things you might want to tackle this year. Now, one of the things that this was especially crucial for me the last 2 years, and I love this one, it's notify your friends and family and plan around the holidays that they have planned. Because I love that, like, it was like a TikTok sound going around last year that was like, just a heads up, if you want to see your friends for the next couple of years, you better learn how to like pack an order, wrap a gift, or like right, print a shipping label or whatever. Because
you want to hang out? Yeah, come over to my shop.
Yeah, no, come over. We got to pack 30 orders. Like, that's it's kind of the reality. Like, notify your friends and family. It's going to be really hard for you to get away if they respect your business. If they're the, how's your little blank going? They're not the friends that are going to respect that boundary. When someone's like, oh, damn, like, you ready for the holidays? Like, are you making stuff for the holidays? Be like, yeah, and I'm going to be a little busy, and I apologize ahead of time. If you guys want to hang out, would love to see you, but I might put you to work. Ha, 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 laughing, laughing. And they're like, yeah, sure.
All I ask from my friends and family is that they give me, like, a minimum of a two-week notice, really. I need a notice. You can't call me. And then
have Kayla put it on a calendar. So.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, put it on a calendar.
Emma runs my calendar. That's the same.
Yeah, if you call me day of. I've had friends and family do this. Call me a day of or like 2 days before something and say, hey, I'm doing this thing. You want to come and hang out? I'm like, bro, I can't. I really need more. I really need more notice. It's just not going to happen.
And that's just,
I appreciate you thinking of me, but I can't.
Listen, this is generally like good life advice for the holidays. So like, not all of these are going to be like making stuff for the shop specific, but like, just set boundaries and set some goals. And honestly, one of the things that freed me up the most the last, I'd say about 2 years, is I told myself, what's the thing I miss the most about Christmas or the holiday season? It's like being off and like watching TV with no responsibility, playing video games, hanging out with my friends,
just chilling, like, and sleeping in eggnog.
And you don't want to be, because I've done this. I've run over Christmas, and I was delivering gifts to people between Christmas and New Year's so that they could give it to them, to their whoever,
yeah,
when they saw them at the, I mean, because some people do Christmas with friends like post New Year's.
And here's the thing. If you care at all about your customer service or, you know, your rating on Etsy, you're going to want to get that delivered before Christmas. So people aren't waiting, and you know, that's just not a good look for you at all. Trust me. I know, I've been there. It sucks.
Which brings me to my next one, is deadlines. Set deadlines, like absolute, like in set in stone deadlines, and plan this out. Like, you should not be, here's the thing. This is September. It's beginning of September. By the time you get home from Maker Camp, because we're all going, right? Everyone listening is going to Maker Camp. We're all going. By the time you get back from Maker Camp, if someone's like, hey, I was hoping you could build something, just straight up look them dead in the eyes and go, January.
Mm-hmm.
January. Like,
yeah.
Oh, no, but it's just like a cutting board. Like, okay, I can maybe work it into my schedule. Let's talk.
Maybe if you pick one of the ones I already have made.
Yeah, or that. But like, if someone wants something custom and you're expecting to be busy, set boundaries. I can't tell you how many times I've screwed myself by saying yes, man, to everything.
I'll tell you what, every year it seems like that happens. I'll get somebody email me or message me in mid-November and say, hey, I want this for Christmas. I got to be like, no,
yep,
I'm sorry. I would really love to do it for you, but I'm not going to be able to get to it till February at least.
Yep. Because listen, end of October turns into Cyber Monday real fast.
Real fast.
Yeah, like November is a no-go month for anyone that works in a shop. It just disappears.
And you know, and the more I do this, the more you do it probably, the busier you get. Things mm-hmm. don't just slow down. You know, the more you do it, the more word gets out that you do this thing, and you get busier and busier. It's just not possible.
And most of us, well, actually, no, I'm kind of speculating here, but I feel like a lot of us are in my camp of like full-time job and business on a side, right? So like, you're already busy. Don't kill yourself the time of the year that you're supposed to rest and enjoy your family and friends. Unless you want to avoid your family and friends, I totally get it too. Sometimes, you know, I get a lot. Dan's a lot. You know, you might want to get away, but
I think my set family those deadlines. Just wants to avoid me.
Yeah. And so the way I look at it is set a hard deadline for yourself so that if anyone hits you up after that deadline, seriously have a conversation with them about whether or not that product can be made. If it's something obviously on your website and you provide a certain turnaround time, especially on Etsy too, like if it's a 2-week thing or whatever, you might also want to consider adjusting that so that it's, you know, it's reflecting realistic times.
I 100% of when people are going to get it.
Exactly. Yeah.
As soon as October's done, I'm adjusting delivery times on Etsy.
Yep.
I think right now it's at 3 to 5 days and I'm going to adjust it to 7 to 10.
Yeah.
Just so absolutely. People have an expectation, you know, that's realistic.
And find out what's comfortable for you. Like maybe for you, it's going to be like you're already busy and you can't even imagine having double or triple the orders. Maybe you start setting a deadline now. Be like, hey, listen, I've seen people that take not a single custom commission aside from personalization from like September till the end of the year. They are in holiday season mode. Also, I cannot recommend this enough. Take a week or two off from the shop. I'm not saying get out of the shop completely. I did this last year. I remember Mike yelled at me. He's like, I can't be like out of the shop. I'm like, no, it's not that. I just don't want to like work for someone. I just want to go in there and play. I want to have fun. I want to clean up. I want to just like watch sports.
You don't want to dread going in there.
Yeah. I don't want to think of like work when I'm going in there. I want to go in there because like, I want to just do some dovetails. Right. You know, I want to join some MDF and OSB. Like, let's go, you know?
That's a fine line to balance. I mean, especially if you're trying to make something of your hobby, if you're trying to turn it into a hustle or a side gig or even a full-time job, if you're trying to turn it into that, that's a really fine line to balance. I mean, yeah, you want to, it's what you do for fun, but you know, if you want it to be successful and you want it to work and you want it to pay for itself, you got to find time to put in the work. So it's tough, especially around the holiday season.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Dan, next one is, I'm going to go into stock up on materials.
Yes.
This is yours. I want you to talk about that.
Well, last year I ran out of, wood several times, I feel like. And, it's not just you that's stocking up for stuff. I mean, everybody across the board is stocking up for stuff. So like your lumberyard might not have the things that you need when you need them because everybody else is in a rush to get the things that they need. So I ran into a situation last year where I needed, Padauk or Zebrawood or something. I knew it was one of the exotics. I can't remember exactly, but my lumberyard didn't have it because I wasn't the only guy that needed it in Omaha.
Yep.
There were other people, obviously. And where my lumberyard gets it from, obviously that's not a local wood. They didn't have any. So like I was kind of screwed and I had to message all my clients and say, or all my customers and say, look, I'm sorry, I can't fulfill this order. Will you take something else? Or I'll just refund your money. That's not a good feeling. And it all came down to because I wasn't as prepared as I should have been. Right? Have you ever run into that? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
That's something that I'm going to keep an eye on this year. Definitely.
The other thing, just because I have little lady hands. No, there's some badass ladies out there. I have little, like, just delicate hands.
Carny
hands. I have Barney hands. They're like mittens.
No, carny hands. Small hands.
Carnies, I just assumed they're missing fingers and teeth. But but like.
That's an Austin Powers reference. Come on.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, yeah, listen. Small hands. I work in front of a computer all day. I type. My fingers are delicate.
Come on. Somebody
you
out there.
You know what sucks really hard? Going to a lumberyard in the middle of winter or in November when it's raining. Yeah. As soon as it gets cold out, wood just becomes heavier and more aggressive. Like your hands are dry. And like, if you're going there picking through lumber, like you're better off just having it at your house ready. The stuff that you really want, that you know,
plus
you're going
to
use.
It needs to acclimate.
And like, you don't want to be buying stuff like, early December for like last minute gifts.
That would be a big deal if your lumberyard stores all their lumber outside. Luckily, my lumberyard
Most of the ones inside, around me do. It's like you can't really even call it indoors. Like it's an indoor place.
There's a,
like
this is everything is
there's a 60-foot door that's like open all day. Like that's basically that's it. That's outdoors, guys. Come on.
Well, it's not getting rained on or anything.
It's not getting rained on. But like it's definitely that's not
somewhat helpful.
Yeah, it's like I say like going to lumber yards in the winter sucks, especially like January, February, whatever. But that's later in the year. Like just get stock up on whatever you can early on.
Yeah, and not just lumber though. I mean, or any materials you use, but like stock up on consumables like glue and sandpaper and
I'm out of sandpaper right now.
Rubber gloves or whatever else you need that you use a lot of that you don't even realize. I'll use stuff all the time, and I don't even realize that I use it as much as I do until somebody comes over and they're like, "Wow, you go through that? You go through a lot of that? Like bits? I go through CNC bits like crazy." And I have people all the time, "Hey, have you tried such and such?" Yeah, I've tried them all, man. I run a lot. Yeah. I run my CNC a lot. So I go through bits. I probably go through
tens of bits
a month. Well, I'm thinking like half a dozen bits a week. I mean, it's probably not as much as like some people, but like it's up there. It's up there. It's just cost of doing business.
You're running that thing 24/7, basically.
Well, I'm not doing it 24/7. Well, but it's 8 hours a day at least.
Yeah, eight to five.
And it's two CNCs that I'm running these days. So
yeah,
I'm doing 8 bits a week, 8-10 bits a week, something like that. Whatever. It adds up.
It definitely does, but I mean, it's worked into the
it's
cost
a consumable,
of the
though.
Exactly
at this point.
Yeah. So working that into our next one, which is figuring out your shipping and fulfillment and especially your packaging. So stocking up on packaging material is essential. I can't tell you guys how many times, especially, you know, this obviously is a one-off with COVID. There was like a lot of issues with getting materials, but I had to rethink my box selection because I couldn't get boxes that I usually use. And even now, some of the boxes that were very popular, I can't get at the same price anymore. So I'm having to buy them either custom through Uline or not custom, but like, you know, it's full price, you could say, from Uline. And actually, I will call this out. Uline is having for the next 2 weeks. I forget when it starts. I think it starts on the 11th. They're having September. Free over $500 shipping.
And that sounds like a lot, but if you're shipping out a bunch.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, $500
that's
like
a huge saving.
You get like, I don't know, 8 bundles of boxes and like some peanuts and whatever. Like it could $500 goes real fast at Uline.
It does.
You know? And if you're buying in bulk, like that's a good place to get your supplies. I still get them from Amazon and some Staples and some from Uline. I order from Uline probably once every 18 months.
I brought this up in the pre-show, I think last week or the week before, and I've been talking about Temu, and I know there's a lot of negative reviews.
You're taking
or
our data.
I know there's a lot of negativity about Temu out there, and you know it's probably fair, but I've been getting all my packaging through Temu. Now, if you're doing that, you have to absolutely plan ahead because it takes about 2 weeks for it to get to you.
At least
it is coming from China.
I've heard some stuff that takes longer.
It is about 1/5 the price of Uline. Now, is the quality the same? No. But when you're ordering it in
I'm glad
bulk,
you asked. No.
When you're ordering packaging in bulk and you're spending a lot of money on packaging, you need to find ways to save money. And that's just one of the ways that I'm finding. And it works. It's not bad. I mean, these are all Temu packages over here.
Yeah.
That's something to look at.
It costs a lot.
If you're like willing to gamble, which I am, I'm
not a gambling man, but I put money down and sometimes I win it. No, I totally agree. You got to stock up on your supplies. And this going back to consumables again, because like, you know, it could be tape. It could be poly mailers, which is something you think like, oh, I could get it anytime. Guess what? You might not be able to get
the same exact size.
That I need. And especially like if you have your processes set up, and we'll kind of get into that. Like if let's say you need to have 4x6 plastic bags to put your thing in. But now suddenly the bags you're getting are some other one, and it's like 3.5 inches by 5.5, and you're screwed. Now your item doesn't fit. Now you need a different bag. And now it's poor presentation because you're having to use a 6x8 bag and it's all loose in there. So there's all these little things that you can run into that might make your product look bad, or different wrapping paper or whatever. So definitely want to think ahead and order ahead. And it could be a very hard pill to swallow with a deep investment, because you could be dropping hundreds of dollars on packing material before you even sold a thing. But it's something that I would consider. You know, granted, you don't need to go the Uline route, but get something.
Obviously, this only applies to people that sell stuff online or
online. Yes,
if you're selling local,
unless you have some kind of presentation or gift box situation. And then the other thing is too, like, you know, one thing that's been very successful for me is buy or make products almost based on the boxes that you can easily get, or the packaging that you can easily get. Sometimes I'll just make an.
In the past, we've brought this up many times.
I have this like box that I can get that's like 8 or 9 inches wide or whatever. So I can make these like little mini boards out of all these offcuts super easily. And they're always under a certain size. And same thing for the bigger ones. They got to be under 12 inches, which is perfect because my planner is that. But, you know, you kind of want to plan ahead. So make your material for the box, or get your boxes for the material. But you can save yourself a lot of money if you can find a quirky, weird size and to make something that fits that. And then, of course, think about the shipping. Like, think about what your shipping is going to be like. Think about the last and UPS, USPS, FedEx, DHL, all of them release their holiday shipping schedules. So you can figure out exactly, if I ship this day with this type of shipping, it's guaranteed to get there by Christmas. And then they have like a grace period of like, it might, you know, so you do want to consider that.
And not only their schedules, but maybe they often change their pricing too. So
The holiday inflation.
And it's something that Pete brought up a couple weeks ago that he stumbled upon, that the USPS, I'm sure UPS and FedEx and everybody else does it too, but USPS has an additional charge for anything over like a certain size. So
yeah, it was 22 inches. Apparently that's the longest a standard ground package could be. If it's 22.5, it immediately added this like massive bulk charge to it. Maybe it wasn't massive, but it was big enough.
It was like $12 or something.
It was something like significant where I was like upset. You know,
I mean, and I was like, well, if you're gonna sell a lot of packages in that range, maybe think about scaling it down just a little bit, so you don't get that extra.
We're not saying lie, we say embellish the truth.
No, you know? I'm talking about scale down your product. It fits into a package then.
But if it's 22.25, maybe 22, and play around with it. The nice thing with, like, we use Pirate Ship, so that's easy to like, oh, that's what that costs, that seems steeper than usual, and go back and then check something else, like check maybe the size that you're doing or the weight, because the weight too, it goes by ounces and then by pounds for the pricing. So it goes up to 4 ounces is a certain price, and as soon as you hit 4.1 ounces, it's a new tier. So like, there's different tiers per ounces and pounds, so keep that in mind too. Do your research, and if I can be of help with that, just reach out to me. I'll see if I can guide you along the way. Next one is, well, I guess research trends.
That is important, I think. I mean,
very important. Like, what's hot this yearly, this year,
right?
Yeah, yes. Is the COVID toilet paper ornament still going to be hot this year?
Probably not.
That's very 2020. So, you know, Etsy does a good job of this. They'll literally send out emails where like, hey, this is what everyone wants. This year, apparently, it's things that are silver.
It's also a simple Google search these days. I mean, you could just Google what's trending in this category right now, and like 100 websites will come up and tell you, because
exactly. Look at top selling on Amazon. You can use like E-Rank, I think, is one of those websites where you can like actually research or compare trends, like see what's the hot thing that people are searching for on Etsy, for example, if you're doing a lot of handmade stuff. There's also Ask the Public. This is more of like a content creator thing, but you can use it for leveraging, like figuring out what you want to sell. Ask the Public is a website where I think there's a free version and there's a paid version. You can put in like holiday decor and you see what the top Google searches are. So basically the questions that people are asking, and you can answer the public. So like, it's great for content creators because you'd be like, oh, some of you are wondering how to blah, 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 you know, but you can see what people are researching and use that. I haven't used that for product. I've used that for content. So that's one way to do it.
And I'm going to give a shout out to Andy Bird over on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. He just dropped that video.
He just dropped a video talking about his top 10 things
holiday
to make this items, holiday season that are trending. I think I probably butchered that title, but go give it a look. It's a really great video. I watched it and I was like, oh, I'm actually going to try to do several of those things. So go check that out.
Yeah, definitely check that out. And we're going to try to, we're going to see,
I'm going to reach out. Maybe he listens to this.
We're going to try to get him on. Yeah. Cause he'd be a really good resource.
Absolutely.
One other thing that we have here, we kind of talked about this already, is set up your processes. And I'm going to kind of bundle this up with planning out batching of items. So there might be something, you might be able to get a product 75% of the way there and do it in bulk and do it in one weekend and have blanks ready and sitting before customization or finish, or maybe it's a different front on it or whatever it might be. But try to plan out as many processes as you can. And it's, for me, it's not natural to sit down and try to plan something that's in the future. It's absolutely not natural. Like, I just do not think about it that way. But the more I've been working with Emma is like, that's how she thinks. And it's actually getting me more organized, because I tend to be just like, show up and I'll figure it out. Yeah. Like, no, that's not how this works, man. You got to plan this out.
Well, I used to open up my Etsy store every morning and just kind of make things or pull from Etsy itself, like straight down what needed to go out soonest versus latest. And I would just go top down and make things that way. And that was inefficient AF because it wasn't always the same thing. You know, I was bouncing around all over the place. I was making a Makita 10-inch saw ZCI. I was making a saw stop next. I was making a Delta next, and I was going back to Makita, and it was just like a mess. So I developed a really quick and simple spreadsheet where I have all the items that I make, and I'll print it out every morning, hard copy, and I'll go through my Etsy store and I'll just make a mark by all the things that I need to make. That way I have a visual representation of all the things that I need to make, and I can batch them out. I'll do all the Makitas, and then I'll do all the DeWalts, and then I'll do all the Bosches, then I'll do all the saw stops. And that is way more efficient. And it's a better, like, not representation, but it just serves me way better because it allows me to, what's the word I'm looking for, Pete?
What are the words?
I don't know. It allows me to keep better track of my time.
Plan out. Plan ahead. Yeah,
there's a word in there. I don't know.
I don't know.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. So, no,
I've been doing that for 5-6 months now, and it's fantastic. It's helped me tremendously. Just that simple little thing.
Plan it out. Absolutely. Now, Dan, how do we get the word out though? Like, well, you know, so you're making all this stuff. Like, how are people going to know about this? Flyers. Flyers are huge.
Post notes on telephone poles.
Yeah, you want one of those tear-offs, and then you want a whole website with a bunch of things at the end that people have to type in. Yep. Or you can leverage social media. I know it seems kind of simple because we're all on social media, but leverage social media and online marketing. I can't tell you how many times a family member or somebody was like, oh, I wanted you to make it, whatever, but I didn't want to bother you. Or I just ordered this because you seem busy. Like, just tell people, hey, I'm open to some orders. I'm doing custom stuff. If you want one of these, if you're local, specify if you're local or your friends or family, whatever, let me know. I can get these out to you guys this week. I'm working on this, blah, blah, blah. And like,
but you leverage gotta get that. Your order in like now.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't wait for the last minute.
And I say online marketing, because if you have a website established already, you probably have a mailing list. You might be able to reach out to some of these people and tell them like, hey, we're doing a sale, we're taking orders, or our cutoff is by this date. Sometimes the urgency of like, last order is November 28th, you know, and people are going to like, you know, I'm just going to rush and get this thing out. So think about that. You do want to try to leverage your social media and do some videos about your products, because you know what? I'm super guilty. Like, Dan does videos of ZCIs and bow ties all day. I do like one video every 2 months of a 3D printed product I make. So people legitimately don't know I make this stuff.
They forget.
Oh, yeah.
He forgets.
He's the 3D
printer. Oh, he's the, oh, that's right. Yeah, he's not just Polish.
Well,
yeah,
I leverage the advertisements right through Etsy. So I'll pay for, you know, what is that, the cost per click?
Yeah, I just they call it. Put mine down because it wasn't paying off for me.
Yeah, I'm paying a lot of money. So, but it's worth it for me. I don't, you know, your mileage may vary. So I do that. And speaking of Etsy, they do, you know, they have an abandoned cart email they'll send out for you. It's a real simple setup. You set it up once and done. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm pretty sure, you know, I can't verify it, but I'll bet anything that like Shopify and any of the other big selling platforms.
Yeah. So that was actually, that's the next thing. It's not just abandoned cart email, but also thank you emails and coupons.
I always add business cards to my orders that say thank you. Here's how you can get 10% off your next order with a QR code on the back. You can't see it because it's blown out, but you know, I try to help
people. They can't see it because they're listening.
I try to help people come back to my store as easily as possible. And I try to let them know that I'm grateful for their patronage.
And just if anyone's confused, an abandoned cart or thank you coupon is basically Etsy and Shopify, some of the other sites. If someone starts going through the setup and they're logged in to either Etsy or even to the website, because Shopify is kind of a standard thing. Like if you've bought anything on any Shopify site, it remembers your username roughly. And it's going to say like, you know, it'll capture your email and you'll get an email saying like, hey, we noticed you didn't check out. If you want to check out, here's another 10%.
Yeah.
There's a little like incentive to come back. Or they buy something from you. I can't tell you how many times somebody's used a thank you coupon that's right on the receipt that I give them.
Little business
or the cards that Dan does.
Paying off.
They'll come back and they'll, you know, you just give them 10%, something you can absorb, or 20 or whatever. Maybe you want to like really treat them. And they work. They definitely work. I highly recommend
them. Absolutely. Those cards have been great. They cost me like $35 for 250 of them through Canva. And I have literally, I could pull up the number, but I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of like 200 people have used them.
That's awesome.
It's crazy. Yeah.
And another great incentive for, especially as you get into the holidays, obviously personalization is big all year round, but especially when you get into like ornaments and, you know, Christmas and whatnot. Name personalization or family or, you know, our baby's first Christmas, stuff like that could be huge. So personalization and little touches like holiday wrapping or like gift wrapping as an option, because people tend to shop, especially last minute, for items that they can then ship directly to a person and they can open it up. So they want a little note in there. And Etsy has the gift, not gift wrapping, but like a
marked as gift.
Gift receipt, marked as gift. Yeah. And it's just like, it prints a different packing slip. It's got a little like bow on it, but like, it's not super personal. And you know, usually when that happens, I try to throw something extra in there, but gift wrapping could be huge. If you offer gift wrapping, some people I've even seen like on Etsy, they'll literally offer it as like a separate listing that you can add on. So like a $5 gift wrapping and it'll be wrapped, packaged. So it's ready to go to the person that's going out to. So it's something to consider.
Never thought of that.
Yeah. And personalization could, you know, could be anything from different colors to fully engraving with laser or hand burning a name in there or something like that. So there's a lot of options, to get your customers, to retain your customers or get them to come back. Mm-hmm. Let's see what's next. Oh, stocking up on. So we talked about stocking up on supplies, but I talked about taking the last couple of weeks off or at least winding the work down. There's always going to be somebody that's going to hit you up last minute. Be like, hey, I saw you making cutting boards. Do you have any cutting boards left? Or like, hey, do you have any ornaments left? I really wanted to get an ornament. Stock up on things that are selling well and keep them on hand so that when people are hitting you up last minute, you can just be like, yeah.
Like I have items
to my laboratory.
I have items that sell a lot. So if when I make them, I always make extra because I know they're going to sell eventually. It's not going to hurt me to have a few on hand. So, I mean, it's a lot easier to make something if you're already making that thing to just make another one.
Yep.
So that's great advice.
Yep. And then, you know, as you get closer to the holidays, I touched on this already, but it's self-care. Don't burn out. This season could make or break you. I've literally been like almost in tears, like broken down around the holidays because I was so stressed and couldn't catch up no matter what I did and was so stressed I wasn't enjoying the holidays. Do not burn out. Enjoy this time with your family, with your friends. Enjoy the holidays. You're doing this to create a better life for yourself. None of us are doing this because we just enjoy it. We enjoy it and we want to make a living doing it so that we can be happy. So why make yourself miserable?
Last year, I think if you go back and listen at some of the episodes, I was stressing pretty hard because I was working right up until, quote unquote, the buzzer, like Christmas Eve. And it was crazy stressful. So this year, you know, Pete and I were talking and we're like, let's do a holiday prep episode in September so that we are ready mentally. I mean, it's a great idea to just
putting it out there.
Just get prepared and you know, that way you have time to spend with your family and not stress about it and enjoy the holidays.
Yeah, because we definitely come back from Maker Camp. There's like a week of like haze and getting back into things. And then you're like, oh, God, it's November. Like, I need to like make stuff, you know?
Yeah, before you know it, it's going to be 2024 and we're going to be talking about spring weather.
And Dan, what's the best thing to do when it's 2024 and it's after the holiday season? What should people do then?
Start making Easter things. Well, I don't know. Yeah, what did you want me to say?
Oh, I sent you the list. I thought you were reading it too.
Oh, but no, I wasn't. You texted me?
Oh, I texted you the whole list. I thought you were going off of it because you're kind of following it along. I guess I'm just that good at guiding the conversation. But oh, Dan, are you ready? Or should I just say it?
Yeah. I got it.
So Dan, what should people do after Christmas?
Yo, sit down and take a moment to evaluate everything. How did you do? How did you expect to do? Just evaluate your performance. Evaluate your business. Take a look at all the data. Try to compile a list and maybe come up with a plan for next year and think about what you can improve where.
Absolutely. Evaluate your performance. See what worked. Take a notebook. Write it down. Make a note in your phone, whatever. Just something that you will remember. Or if you have leftover, like every year I have some like leftover ornament blanks without like any personalization, no date, nothing.
75% off.
I'll throw something, but you can do, honestly, I was selling ornaments all the way through January. It was crazy. People were still buying them up late. And they wanted last year's date on it. They wanted 2022 on it. But throw even a note into a bin of that stuff for next year, like put it in there just so you remember what worked, what didn't work. Like, you know, that one didn't sell at all. This one I made a ton of. I thought it was going to be great. It wasn't. Like, think about this kind of stuff and save yourself the headache. You know, we talked about what are the trends? Like, guess what? You already have the trends from last year. You did your own research. You know what works. You know, you could write down buy more 6x3x3 boxes because you're going to run out in October and then not be able to get it. So it's definitely worth keeping some notes in case you do want to keep doing this every year, you know, and stay efficient. Amen. Dan, you have any follow-up ones? Because that's kind of our list. We had like 15, but we talked about like 30 things.
No, man, I think we nailed everything we wanted to talk about. I mean, we came into this thinking about we were only going to talk about 10 things, but I feel like we rattled off
a bunch. As I was writing, I had like 6, and then before I knew it, I had 12, and then we just like add some more, like really fluff it up, because this is all important. Basically, it's have a good time, have a plan, have fun.
And that's, look,
there's 3 things you're going to do.
We're not doing this episode to stress you out. We're doing this episode to help you out.
Yeah.
Okay, hopefully this stuff helps you out. If you're like us, we assume that you're like us in a sense because you're listening to this.
Sexy, compassionate, generous lover.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're like us and you're trying to make things and sell them, hopefully this helps you out. And hopefully you get through the holiday season and you come out a winner. And you look forward to the next one.
Guys, let's make a lot of money this year and not be stressed out.
Hell yeah.
Take money and then just like chill.
To the moon.
Last week. To the moon. Yeah. That's, you know what else is to the moon, Dan?
Our patrons?
Yeah.
Did, well, I don't that, Did we do that right?
I don't know. We're not quite fully done yet, but what I do want to talk about again is, I guess we should do another code for the actual episode, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So since we partnered up with Maker Camp, we're going to be giving away two silver passes for Maker Camp. The silver pass comes with an entire weekend of activities. It's all hands-on. You're able to touch all the things, including Dan and I, with consent. Thank you. And you're able to do all the, you know, participate in all the fun activities, stay the entire weekend, including a camping pass. So if you wanted to roll in with a tent, you can absolutely do that as well.
Yep. Get your spot for the weekend.
Exactly. And we're going to be giving away one of the tickets on the episode that is on the 17th. I think I said this earlier.
The 21st.
21st, sorry, 21st. So that's in 2 weeks. We're going to be giving away that first ticket, the other ticket on the same day.
May I say, we're going to give that ticket out during the pre-show.
The pre-show, yes.
And we'll announce it during the show as well.
So you want to be there live. And now we are giving a code away in the pre-show, a different one in the episode for the next 2 weeks. So you want to make sure you're there. Including on the 21st, we're going to have a special last-minute code. If you want to be in there, get an extra entry.
Absolutely.
That's the way to do it. And then the second one is going to be done through Instagram on our page, so stay tuned. If you're listening to this, the post will hopefully be up by then. And we couldn't thank Maker Camp enough. We love that. That's why we reached out to them, because it's literally one of our favorite events. Actually, it's their favorite event. It's the one. Yeah. Like, we're pinch guns, we're fine. But, like, we love this one. we love going to Maker Camp so much. So we're excited to partner up with them. And we're excited to see you guys all there. And we get to see an extra two of you, which is super exciting. So, again, more details to follow. But, Dan, do you have a secret catchphrase for this or code phrase?
Let's just make it real simple. Let's just call it holiday prep.
Holiday prep. So
you need to send that to us in an email at awpgiveaway.com. Nope.
One more time. AWP giveaway.
You need to send that to us in an email at awpgiveaway@gmail.com. The phrase you need to send is holiday prep. That'll get you entered into the drawing for the Maker Camp ticket. Now.
I love it.
You enter this week. You can also enter next week. But you can only do once per week. Unless you're in the pre-show, you could do two. You could double.
The two a week, you can double up. Or you can also enter on our post that we're going to be promoting. So follow another Witch Hunt podcast on Instagram.
On Sunday.
I will do my best, yes.
Well, just tell me what you want and I'll do it.
Make it real sexy.
Okay.
Like a grizzly bear in the woods. No.
Oh, okay.
No, there'll be plenty of barefoot forge there. Ha, ha, ha. See what it's a joke. Okay.
Like that joke at all. All right.
But we're super excited. So, Dan.
I want to give another shout out to our lovely patrons. Thank you very much for helping us keep the lights on around here. We appreciate you guys. And if you want to join the Meh Army, you can join us on patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast. We have several tiers over there you can join up.
Four.
Anything helps. Even sharing the show. We really appreciate that, too. Every little bit helps. Thank you. That's all I got.
That's it. That's awesome. Guys, thank you for joining us next week. Do we have a guest for next week? Actually, did we talk about a guest? Going to let you guys know by Sunday night or Monday or whatever.
We may have a guest next week.
We may have a guest next week.
But actually, on the 21st, you know who's going to be joining us officially?
Oh, ooh.
Josh Hescott of Hescott Design Co. I am excited because I've been following Josh for a very long time, and he's such a nice guy, and he just opened up his own brick and mortar store. So I
can't. Oh, did he really? No way.
I think he's working on it. He's been working on it. He's been
okay. All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to oversell.
Working on the building. He's close.
That's dope. So, and we're going to be we're going to try to bring on a couple of makers and creators on here that are kind of doing a lot of this holiday prep as well to try to get us psyched up for it as we're getting closer to the holidays. So stay tuned. We got some really great guests that we're going to be trying to line up. And yeah, we're excited to see you guys next week. And we'll see you in the pre-show. I love you. Bye-bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Love you long time.
Bye-bye.
Christmas.